Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: the singular freedom of living and walking in Christ. Chapter 3. The freedom of the glory of the sons of God, or the glorious liberty of the children of God. Romans 8:19-21. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Yet another way in the Scriptures of referring to the liberty by which Christ has made us free is by mentioning the freedom of the glory of the children of God, or the glorious liberty of the children of God, depending respectively on the language and version of the translation of the Scriptures. Nevertheless, regardless of one or another translation, what we would like to highlight here is the evidence that the Scriptures make for the glory that is associated with the freedom that is offered and granted by God to His children, showing us also by this aspect that the liberty offered according to the heavenly kingdom to human beings is a distinct and singular freedom. In addition to the fact that the liberty by which Christ has made us free redeems, rescues, and delivers people from the enslavement who subjected them to the powers of darkness, this same freedom is associated with or part of a glory that is incomparably superior to any other proposition of liberty. And this, because it also allows a person to access aspects for one's life that no other kind of freedom can provide. We remember that the liberty by which Christ has made us free has in the following topics, and exclusively, some of its main points to be observed, learned, and practiced. 1. The liberty for a Christian to be able to access God personally anytime and anywhere due to the reconciliation accomplished by the blood of Christ shed on the cross of Calvary. 2. The freedom for an individual to be able to know the Lord Jesus Christ and the Heavenly Father continuously and increasingly, which is an expression of what the Lord calls eternal life. 3. The liberty for a person to be guided by the Holy Spirit in all ways and acts of one's life. 4. The freedom for an individual to be guided in all the truth and no longer by futility, vanity, deceptions, lies, or by what is just temporal or false. Through the liberty by which Christ has made us free, a Christian may continually expose oneself to the teaching of Christ and grow in understanding and enjoying this freedom granted to him or her by the Lord. John 8:31-32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Matthew 11:27-29. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Moreover, or in addition to enabling a Christian to have access to the Lord to be instructed by him, the liberty by which Christ has made us free also contemplates freedom for an individual to be able to believe in the words of the Lord and indeed perform the instruction received from God. The liberty by which Christ has made us free is a freedom that redeems people from bondage and enables the appropriate condition for them to receive the Lord's instructions, but it is also a liberty that allows the Christian to be free and supported by the Lord to do God's will in one's daily journey in the present world. In addition to the fact that the liberty by which Christ has made us free provides the condition for a Christian to receive the Lord's instructions to strengthen him or her in the hope of eternal salvation after the life in the natural body, this same liberty is also the freedom whose glory strengthens a Christian to be able to walk in the present time according to the heavenly will. The liberty in Christ is the freedom for which the creation longs so much to be revealed in the children of God with the expectation that thus it may also be delivered from the captivity of corruption. The only freedom that has a glory that enables a person to be effectively delivered from the bondage of corruption, which, in turn, repeatedly subdues a person to sin and continuity in corruption, is the liberty by which Christ has made us free. A reason why this freedom, also concerning this aspect, is an expression of the glory that God has established to be manifested in Christ and in which all Christians are called to live and walk. The freedom of the glory of the children of God, or the glorious liberty of the children of God, is distinct from any other proposition of freedom due to the fact that through Christ Jesus, a person becomes reconciled with God, but also because in this same liberty, a person has within reach the condition of being in Christ. That is, of being in Him who holds the glory of the full liberty that is consonant with the path of truth and who is perfectly free from subjection to any aspect that opposes the will of God. The freedom of the glory of the children of God, or the glorious liberty of the children of God, is so especially glorious because it is founded and sustained by the Lord who is our righteousness, salvation, wisdom, and life, and because a Christian is called to live and walk in the Lord of all glory Himself. In other words, it is because of the glory of the One who grants them freedom, and who calls them to live and walk in Him, that the liberty of the children of God is so glorious, knowing as well that there is no true freedom if a person is dissociated from Christ. Just as Christ is the righteousness, salvation, way, truth, life, and heavenly power of a Christian's life, so Christ, in the aspects of His glory, also is the expression and the way of the Christian's freedom. When a Christian is in Christ or lives and walks in Christ, one is free in the liberty that there is in Christ. However, when a Christian does not live and walk in Christ, this Christian also abstains oneself from the condition of freedom available to him or her in the Lord. Since freedom is an integral part of God's salvation and life offered by God through His gospel, and yet, that Christ is the central expression of God's salvation and newness of life, it is also in Christ Jesus that a person is called to enjoy the liberty that the Heavenly Father offers to him or her. In Christ Jesus, a person can obtain and enjoy freedom because in the glory of Christ revealed to human beings, we find that Christ is 1. Our Deliverer. 2. The Good and Unique Shepherd who guides who are His in freedom. 3. The Eternal High Priest who assists those who believe in Him and delivers them from the afflictions and anguishes that oppose them. 4. The King of Righteousness and the King of Peace, who is mighty to eternally keep in freedom and peace all who are in Him. And since the Christian's freedom is found in Christ, the more a Christian knows the glory of Christ and abides in the Lord, the more one can know and experience the liberty that is already available to him or her in the several virtues of the Lord in His everlasting glory. Finally, similar to the previous chapter, we will not extend ourselves more at this point about the glory of Christ Jesus because the subject is already dealt with more broadly through the subject on the gospel of the glory of God and the glory of Christ, a theme whose enormous relevance we have repeatedly sought to highlight and of which we recall three texts below. 2 Corinthians 3, 17-4, 7. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. 2 Thessalonians 2, 13-14. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel, for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 7, 22-25. By so much more Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Also there were many priests, because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them.